He's alive. As we continue to worship, witness the ordinance, baptism.
Jesus into my heart. I was 7 and I just decided to pray, Jesus, would you please come into my heart? When I prayed that prayer, I felt better and I couldn't stop thinking about it that night. I think it's cool because I get to be baptized on Easter because that's a good holiday when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again the 3rd day. If it wasn't for Easter, we wouldn't be forgiven and be able to go up to heaven.
Tyler, I've got a question for you. Are you 100% sure that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then Tyler, because of that decision, I can baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a new way of life.
We serve a great God, don't we? So thankful for this Easter Sunday that you're here. Let's sing, "How Great Thou Art."
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
Happy Resurrection Day. What a joy it is to have you here today. And what a tremendous way to begin our service today. And I would like for you at this time to turn and say, "Happy Resurrection Day," to three or four folks around you. Would you do it right now? Thank you so much. If you would please, would you be seated? We welcome all of you in this room today. Also, all of you at our Pinnacle Hills location today, we welcome you and thank you so much for being here on this Easter celebration service. Last night we had two services, and today we're having four, and we're very grateful for the opportunity. Now, today, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for each one of you, whether you be a guest, a regular attender, or a member of our church, I'd like for you to complete one of these real quickly. And won't take but a moment. If you have any kind of prayer request, you can place it in the back. And while you are completing it, I want you to also watch a video. Now, it really helps you to be able to do both things if you have one eye that can go down and one eye that goes up at the same time. If you can't do that, then, you know, do your best to focus on one or the other. But in about 1 minute from now, we're going to take these up. And so if you would you please look to the screens right now?
Good morning. I'm Rick Catsby. Thank you for choosing to celebrate Easter with us. We care about you and your children so much, in fact, that we have dedicated an entire Sunday just for kids. On April 17th, kids grades 1 through 5 will have a 16-hour lock-in with a concert by Yancey and a trip to Locomotion. That should be fun. Sunday morning, preschoolers will have a live show from Diggity Dog and Miss Gina. For the rest of you, we have a special guest April 18th as well. David Platt, one of the dynamic young leaders and speakers of today, will speak at both of our campuses.
We can retreat from the mission of declaring the glory of Christ in all nations. We can retreat into a land of religious formalism and wasted opportunity, or we can risk everything for the mission that we have been created for. And I want to say to you tonight, let's risk it all.
This summer is full of events for you and your family, so see what we have for you in today's bulletin or online at fbcs.net/summer. And if you don't have a church that you call home, we would love to have you to be part of one of our two campuses.
Thank you so much, Rick. And at this time, if you would you take this card that you have completed, pass it to her right. And ushers, if you would please be sure that we collect these right now. We're going to sing one other song, and then we're going to receive the offering for the day. I hope today that you will have a wonderful, wonderful resurrection celebration day. And I hope today when you leave that you will know that God has spoken to your life in a very special way. At this time, would you stand with me all over the room? We're going to worship. Josh, if you would you continue leading us to worship the Lord today?
For the sun.
Amen. As we prepare today to give of our tithes and our offerings, isn't it amazing what the Lord has given to us? Would you bow with me real quickly? You know, there's no mistake that you're here today. A sovereign God allowed you to be here to hear the message that you're going to hear today. And I pray that your heart would receive what the Word of God has to say. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today that because Christ is risen, we have hope. Lord, we rejoice today in the fact that we have new life in Jesus Christ. God, I pray right now as we prepare to give of our tithes and offerings, the Lord, you would prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. Lord, we need today to hear from your Word. Lord, may the message penetrate our souls. May we hear, may we respond to you, Jesus, the way that you want us to respond to you. We give you glory in this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank God for that song. What a powerful song. Let's give it up to the Lord for that great message. I hold in my hand today three tools. This is my driver's license. This is a credit card. And this is my fuel fitness card. I'm a member at the fuel club here and go there and work out a few days a week. Do you know what these three have in common? These are tools that identify who I am. Many of you might love music or maybe bands, and along the way as you go to a concert or you have your own preference, you might go and buy a t-shirt and wear that t-shirt to basically identify with that group. Also, many of you as well, you're into fashion. And so what you do, you go to the store and you find you a piece of clothing, some kind of garment, and it has their logo on it, and you pay your money for it, I might add, to go and promote their company for them. And all of that is a part of identifying with that line of fashion. Or many of you are sports fanatics and you have a sports team. And being a part of a climate like we have here in Northwest Arkansas, we know what the dominant force of that is. But in all of this, we have to understand that we buy apparel, that we like our sports teams and we wear it with pride. And all of that identifies us with our sports team. You see, it doesn't matter whether it's a driver's license, a credit card, a fitness card, whether it be a t-shirt, whether it be some fashion statement, or whether it even be sports apparel. Each one of those things have one common denominator. Somehow they are identifying you with something. I want to talk today about how to identify with Jesus Christ. What does the scripture say about how we identify with Jesus Christ? Now, the word identify is an interesting word. It is a word that means that I link myself to, or I connect myself to, or I relate myself to something. Therefore, I am connecting to something in my life, relating to something in my life, linking myself to something if I'm going to identify with someone or something. Now, the Bible talks about this over in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. And in the scripture in Romans chapter 6, it gives to us in one verse of scripture how each one of us can identify with Jesus Christ. And I want you to look with me to the scripture if you have a copy of God's word today. And in this, I want you to look with me to verse number 4. The Bible says, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism. Romans 6, verse 4. Into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we may too walk in a new way of life. Buried with him in baptism, in order that we can demonstrate that Christ was raised from the dead. And just as that is so, the scripture says that we then are able to walk in a new life. Now, the scripture here speaks to an issue. The issue was immaturity that existed among those who were Christians and who were a part of these churches around the city of Rome. Now, in this whole situation here, they were immature in their faith. The writer by the name of Paul said to them something very profound. He said to them, the reason you're mature is you have forgotten that each one of you who trusted Christ, you followed Christ in baptism, and you have forgotten what baptism means. Therefore, what he does is he tells them, he's saying, you're asking this question? He said, I can't believe you're asking this question. He said, should we continue to sin so that grace might abound? I mean, they believed that they could just keep on sinning, and why not? Even though I'm now identified with Christ, what's the big deal? Because the grace of God is greater than all of my sin. While Paul said that's true, he said that what is more true, however, is that how can you keep on sinning when you are dead to sin? Good question. And so what he did is that he said, you guys need to remember something. He said, you need to remember when you trusted Christ, and beyond that, when you publicly professed him through water baptism. And he said, because water baptism links you to the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We saw a few moments ago, scriptural baptism, which is baptism by immersion. And he said, it links you to the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Therefore, what he was encouraging us to understand in the Holy Scripture is that baptism links you to that. Therefore, there is one way that you ultimately identify with Jesus Christ. What is that? You identify with Jesus Christ through water baptism. Now, that might surprise some of you, but that is the way that we identify with Jesus Christ. Those people that were baptized a few moments ago, they identified with themselves with Jesus Christ in their life. Now, question, what does that mean? What does it mean for them to identify themselves with Christ? Well, what does baptism mean? That's what we've got to ask ourselves. If that's the way we identify with Jesus Christ, we need to review for a moment, and many of us need to learn what baptism really means. First of all, it means that I am identifying with what Jesus did for me. I am identifying with what Jesus did for me. When those people walked in the water a moment ago, they were identifying with what Jesus did for me. Now let's review for a moment. What did Jesus do for you? Jesus died for you. He died for all of your sins, past, present, future. Jesus has the power to forgive all sins. And while you may not remember the date when you received that, many of you will remember the place where you made that decision where Christ forgave you of your sins. Just like the testimony a moment ago that you were able to witness, those of you that are on Springdale campus, and in that testimony you were able to see there was a defined moment when that decision was made. And when that decision is made, you are identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. I have received what Jesus did for me on the cross. And in order for me to do that, I have got to what? I've got to die to myself. And then he says you are identifying with the burial of Jesus Christ. Now, very important here about the burial. Maybe you haven't thought about it in a while, but listen carefully. The only reason you bury someone is because you're dead. You do not bury someone who is alive. Now, I know they made a couple movies about that, but that's not real life. I hope not it. But I wanted to let you know that you bury that which is dead. And that's what the writer was telling us here, the scripture was saying, the Holy Spirit was telling us, is that you guys, the reason you're choosing to do what you're doing in your life and you're acting in immaturity, you have forgotten that you died to your sin and that you have been buried from that sin. It's gone now, and now you have been what? Raised to do something, to walk in a new life, he said in the scripture. And so what we do in baptism, he's saying, I am identifying with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But he also says there's more. He says that what baptism also means is that I am testifying about what Jesus did in me. It is not only receiving and identifying with what Jesus did for me, but I'm testifying about what Jesus did in me. When a person walks into the waters of baptism, they are giving a testimony of their faith. They're giving a testimony about what Jesus did for them, but they're also giving a testimony about what Jesus did in them. Now listen carefully. The only reason in the world you would ever walk in the waters of baptism is because something has already happened in your life. That something is very, very important. And so this whole process of giving that testimony is so important in your life. And what Jesus was saying through the scripture here is that how can you ever continue to keep on sinning in your life and not sense that God doesn't want you to do that? Because if you'll just remember what you went through at baptism, it reminds you of what Jesus did for you. And it reminds you that you died to yourself before you could ever be saved. He also said you had to bury those sins, or those sins were buried at the cross. And he also said what? He said that you've been raised to walk in a new way of life, meaning that you don't have to live the way you used to live, all because of what Jesus did for you in your life. Now, that word baptism is a very important word. Because that word baptism is in the original language, the word baptizo, which means to submerge. It means to immerse. It means to put under. Maybe you haven't ever thought about it like this, but listen carefully. There's only one mode of baptism that can ever identify you with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, and it is immersion baptism. Because why? Because you have to what? You walk in that water and you've died to yourself, and you are buried and you are raised to walk in a new way of life. That's exactly what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. He died on a cruel cross for you. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And when you follow Christ in baptism, you are not only identifying with what Jesus did for you, but you are testifying about what Jesus has done in you. It's also important to understand that in this whole process, baptism is an external act of an inward experience that's already occurred in your life. It's a picture. You remember a moment ago when I reached in here and I was able to show you these three things. One of these was my driver's license. Now, you remember going through security. Many of you have gone through airport security. Probably all of you have at some point. And it's a glorious experience. And with all that, you know, you get ready to go, and then you take all your clothes off, and then you put them back on after you go through. And you identify with that? And so with this, but before you ever get to that point, what do? You have to pull out this little thing called a driver's license, right? And I'm always amused when the security guy looks at you, or security lady looks at you, and they take a look at this, and they look at you like, son, you don't look anything like you looked on this picture. 20 pounds ago, maybe, or 5 years ago, but there's always that. So, well, what is this? This is a picture meeting. It's not always going to show me how I look like that on that very moment, but it's a picture, and that's what baptism is. Baptism is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me illustrate this. Very important illustration. When someone walks in the water of baptism, here is their testimony. I chose Jesus to what? To save me from my sins. When every one of those people a moment ago walked into the waters of baptism, something had already happened in their life. And what had happened in their life is that they chose at a given point in life to choose Jesus to save them from their sins. Very important thing to remember here. In fact, there are a couple of things that are important to remember here. Is that there's one requirement for being baptized. And it's not going to a class for 3 months. You know what it is? The only requirement the scripture gives, one requirement, is that you have had a moment and a time when Jesus saved you from your sins. That's got to happen first, and then baptism is pictured. It's a requirement. And also, let me make it real clear, baptism follows that initial experience with Christ. I trust Christ in my life. He has taken away my sins, and then I am baptized through water baptism. Why am I baptized in water baptism or through water baptism? Because I'm going to identify with what Jesus did for me, and I'm going to testify to the world what Jesus has already done in me. And notice the verbiage that was chosen there. It was not, I will choose Jesus to be my Savior, and that's why I'm going to be baptized. Or I am choosing Jesus to be my Savior, and that's why I am being baptized. No, I chose Jesus to save me from my sins. Oh, that's so important. Because you see, baptism follows that. It doesn't precede it. Many of you in this room today, I mean, you may have made some kind of step toward God as a child or as a teenager. And maybe later on in your life, you really felt like there was a definitive moment when you declared that Jesus was your Savior and Jesus was your Lord and your sins were forgiven. And ever since that day, something's been different in your life and different in your heart. And even though you might have been baptized as a child or baptized as a teenager, let me take it real clearly today. You've not really been scripturally baptized, because you might have been adequately or wonderfully dunked, but you've not been baptized. Because baptism always follows the moment, the time, the experience that I chose Jesus to save me from my sins. So, you know what? In reality, you know when the applause should begin at baptism? The moment that person walks in the water. Because the moment they walk in the water, they are saying, I chose Jesus to save me from my sins. And that's worth a lot of applause. And in that, they go from there, and then they are put under the water. You know what under the water symbolizes? I am leaving my past. That's what it symbolizes. I am leaving my past. My sins are forgiven. My sins have been thrown in the bottom of the ocean. My sins are as far as the east is from the west, the psalmist said. They are forgiven. They are over. And I now have a second chance. And the reason we bury is because we have died to ourselves. Christ has come in our lives. And the burial part of that is, I'm leaving my past. I'm leaving my past. That's what we're doing. Oh, I want to tell you today, if you're looking for a second chance in life, that second chance happens when Jesus saves you from your sin. That's when that happens. And we have to understand today that water baptism pictures for us this dramatic picture, a powerful picture, that under the water, I'm leaving my past. And then up from the water, you know what that symbolizes? I have a new future. I have a new future. I'm telling you, when we see someone baptized and they have gone through that experience, when they walk in the water, they're declaring, I chose Jesus to save me from my sins. When that pastor puts them under the water, they're leaving their past. When that pastor brings them up from the water, you know what they're doing? They're saying, I've got a new future. Past is past. Past is over. Past doesn't matter anymore, because Jesus gave me a new meaning of life and a new purpose for life and a new way of life, and everything is new today. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm telling you, every one of us today need to be reminded of the power of when, if we have, and if we haven't, we need to understand the power of identifying with Jesus Christ through water baptism. It is absolutely a theological moment when you grab a hold of that in your life. A moment when God speaks to you and really resonates that in your heart, and he brings alive the word in your life. So here's this person. They walk into the waters of baptism, and by the very walking, they're declaring, Jesus, save me from my sins. And then they are put under the water. I am leaving my past. Oh man, aren't you glad you can leave your past? And when you're brought up, I have a new future. And then you know what they do? They walk out of the water. I wonder if out of the water means anything. I didn't say they walked on the water. Some people think once you do that, you're supposed to be perfect. Didn't say walk on the water, said walk out of the water. You know what that means? I walk in a new life. That's what it means. I walk in a new life. I walk in a new life. I mean, do you realize the power of that, my friend? The power of you being able to walk in a new life. That word new is a very important word mentioned here in Romans 6:4. It is not new in time, but it's new in quality and new in character. And let me share this with you today. When Jesus saves you from your sin, you get a new you. It's not a perfect you, but it's a new you. A new quality of life. A new character. You're not the same person you used to be. And you walk in a new way of life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, the scripture says. Therefore, I am in this process of becoming what God wants me to become. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. It doesn't mean I'm ever going to get perfect until I get to heaven. But what it does mean is that I got an inward quality in me and an inward character in me that if I will nurture that, I mean, good will happen in my life. Godliness will happen in my life. Godly choices will happen in my life. Therefore, I want to challenge you today to understand the power of what water baptism says. Here you are, guys. How in the world do you keep on sinning? You have forgotten the very meaning of what you have identified with Christ. You identify with Jesus Christ, my soul, guys. You identify with me in baptism, and you're telling me you can't get over sin. You forgot what baptism means when you walked in the water. I chose Jesus to be my Savior. Save my sins when I put you under the water. You left your past when I brought you up from the water. I gave you a new future. When you walked out of the water, I gave you what? A brand new way of life. What more do you need? I got a question for you today. And that question is a very, very important question for every one of us here today. Have you ever identified with Jesus through immersion baptism? Through water baptism by immersion? I'm telling you, if you haven't, why haven't you? What is keeping you from it? What is the mode? What is the problem? If you have already received Christ in your life and your sins have been forgiven, it doesn't need to be delayed. Well, I'm going to get a hold of where I understand a little bit more about it. Well, I'm sorry. I've got an earned doctorate degree, and I've been walking with Jesus since I was 15, and I don't understand everything about it, and I'm not going to understand everything about it. But one day we will understand it all. But until then, I'm in a process. I'm in a process of being more what God wants me to be. It doesn't mean I make all the right decisions. Doesn't mean I make all the right choices. But what it does mean is that I have a Savior in me who, if I will let Him be my Lord, He can constantly, through me, create a new me. And folks, I'm telling you, this world needs to know they can have a new me. I mean, this American culture, I mean, we are pretty chronic on trying to remake ourselves. I mean, hey, you know, if you can afford a little plastic surgery and they can help you, go for it, man. I mean, I would. Anything can help, but let me just tell you, the reality is one thing. A new you will never be created externally. A new you is created internally. And that new you comes through character and through quality because of what Jesus Christ has done in you. Oh, listen, you need to identify with Jesus today. You know, Gina and I, we've been married now almost 34 years. That's a long time. You know, she used to blame my mama for everything, but she's had me longer than my mama has now. But you know, on December the 31st, 1976, in Rotan, Texas. How many of you know where Rotan, Texas is? Well, there's one. God bless you. Two. And there may be more. You and you and you. But anyway, we gave each other a wedding band and a wedding ring. That's what we did. And, you know, her dad, who was the pastor, talked about this and what this meant and all that. And, you know, I wear this all the time because what it is it's a reminder to me. That's what a wedding band is. It's a reminder of that I'm married. It's a reminder of my commitment that I made to my wife. It's a reminder that we're together through life. And We're partners through life. And, you know, I don't understand all this wedding band stuff. I mean, you know, men kind of get a bad deal on this. I mean, I'm in my second upgrade. And the only reason I got a second one is because the first one broke. And I don't know how it broke, but I hit something somehow one day and it just split it. And I remember one Sunday I didn't wear my wedding band and I was walking through here and Miss Eddie back there, Shirley Eddie, who's nodding her head. You remember doing that to me, Miss Eddie? She remembers. She got in the hold of me back. She said, "Where's your wedding band?" I'll never forget it. I said, "Well, I broke it, Miss Eddie." She said, you need to wear it till you get another one. I mean, you know, she understood the power of a wedding band. Are you following me today? She knows the power. She wanted everyone to know her pastor was taken. Are you following me? But I only got two upgrades. You know, Gina's already got three upgrades, and she ain't broken hers. I don't understand that deal. Some of you young bucks around here just got married. You think you finished? Let me just tell you, you ain't finished. There ain't never an end. Never. But you know, I just think about how it would be if I didn't wear my wedding band. Think about how offended my wife would become. Why didn't you wear your wedding band? What's the problem? You don't want to be committed to me? You want other people to think that we're not committed to one another, that you're not married? Why are you not wearing your wedding band? I wouldn't want to deal with her. That's why I wear it. You know why? Because she wants everybody to know that she's taken. That doesn't mean she always likes me, but she takes me. We're done. Folks, listen carefully. I use that as an illustration for one reason. That's what baptism is. Baptism is like a wedding band. It shows that I have identified with Jesus. And it lets everybody know that I belong to Christ. And it's a testimony that Jesus Christ has come into my life. I have died to myself. I showed a need for a Savior. I opened my heart. He forgave me my sins. And He's given me a new way of life. That's what it is. It's a testimony. There are many of you here today, you need your spiritual wedding band. You need to profess. You need to confess. You need to give testimony of the powerful, life-changing ability of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you know the name of Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall will go down in history as being one of the greatest announcers in the National Football League. He and his sidekick, John Madden, for years they were sidekicks and they did all these Super Bowls together. They were an incredible couple in the booth, and anybody that loved football always loved him. Listen to them. Summerall will be 80 years of age in May. It's hard to believe. 80 years of age. Pat Summerall played for the University of Arkansas Razorbacks in 1949 to 1951. In fact, when Summerall was signed by an NFL team, he was signed for $6,000, and amazed to this day, he got paid to do it. But Summerall had a problem. You know what Summerall's problem was? As his profession took him city to city, place to place, function to function, football to football, golf to golf, whatever it may have been the event, Summerall was an alcoholic. Drink after drink, drink after drink. Episodes began to take place. Friends were embarrassed. Family was embarrassed. And all of a sudden, in his 60s, it really came to a climatic state. When he was 65, he was admitted into the Betty Ford Clinic. And through that experience of that entire length of time, plus a few more days in that program, the Lord began to work in his life. Sometime in that vein of time, Summerall found Jesus as Savior and Lord. In fact, Summerall said these words. He said, when he was 65, is when that happened. He said, I realized there was a Savior. I told Jesus if he would have me, I'd like for him to come into my life. Summer all was changed dramatically. Internally, Jesus gave him a new path. At 66, he was baptized. He writes, I was baptized with a bunch of little kids that day. Me at 66 and all these little kids. My friend, Dr. Claude Thomas at First Baptist Church of Euless, is the one that baptized him when Claude used to pastor there. And now Pat's an active, ongoing member at Prestonwood Church in Dallas. But Pat said these words when he was talking about that life change and the power of baptism in his life. He said, you know, I'm one of the miracles of all time. It's made a terrific difference in my life. An indescribable difference. You see, Pat identified with Jesus and he testified about Jesus through water baptism. And now he's free, changed. And what man could not do and what he could not do, God did. Summerall said, when it's all over, I don't want to be known as Pat Summerall, the announcer. I want to be known as Pat Summerall, the Christian. Let me ask you today, would you like Jesus to make an indescribable difference in your life? You may think you're too far gone. Oh, no, you're not too far gone. He's dealt with worse than you. And I want to urge you today to come and let him make that indescribable difference in your life. Some of you, have you ever identified with him through water baptism? Why don't you today? Is the order right? You were truly changed by the power of Jesus, and now you are moving forward in your life, and now you need to be baptized by water to link you with the death and the burial and the resurrection. And if you will not, why not? There's no reason to be ashamed. I pray today that you will make a serious commitment to identify and to testify about Jesus in your life. And you do it one way, water baptism.